Father God, is once again at this hour of the morning. Just a few of your handmaid servants have once again gathered together in spirit over the airways that we might be able to praise and to magnify thy holy and thy righteous name. And Father, we come this morning with thanksgiving dripping from our lips. We know, Father, that you didn't have to wake us this morning, but you did it in spite of ourselves, O Heavenly Father, and for that we say thank you. We thank you for being our God, O Heavenly Father, a God who just on last night assigned angels to stand guard outside of our dwelling places, O Heavenly Father, while all danger passed to and for, O Heavenly Father. And we thank you that you dispatched the angel of love, Father, the angel of life to our bedrooms this morning. And here we are one more time, Father, and we came that we might be able to praise thy name, that we might be able to lift you up, O Heavenly Father, and to magnify you, because there's no other God like you, no other God that can do what you can do, Father. And for that we say thank you, O Heavenly Father. Father, as we gather together on this Palm Sunday morning, Father, we pause to remember, O Heavenly Father, what you've done for us over 2,000 years ago, Father. And Father, we ask that as we come before your throne of grace this morning, O Heavenly Father, that you would not only anoint the message of the day, Father, that it might be a blessing to someone, O Heavenly Father, but we ask that you will touch every listener, O Heavenly Father. Touch them in a special way, Father. You know what each one of us stand in need of individually, and you know what we need collectively, Father. And we are calling out on your holy and your righteous name because we come realizing that there is nothing too hard for you. We praise you and we magnify you. And Father, as we come, Father, we ask that you will hide thy servant now behind the cross, O Father. That you will let me down into the deep riches of your word, Father. Saturate me, Father, with a fresh anointing and with your Holy Ghost, O Heavenly Father. Use this vessel, Father, made of clay, and speak through me and speak a rhema word to your people, O Heavenly Father. That somebody will be determined, O Heavenly Father, that I will live for Jesus. Father, we thank you right now. We praise you right now, Father. We ask that you breathe on the message right now, Father. We ask that you will have your way, Father. We ask that you will deliver and you will set free today. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And for his sake only, we pray. And we say amen, amen, and amen again. We ask you again to put your phones on mute, church. Please, thank you. We thank God Almighty for another blessed privilege and another opportunity to still be found in the land of the living and to be able to join ourselves together in spirit to praise and to magnify his holy and his righteous name. Church, I've come to share with you what most of you already know, that our God, who is a loving, a kind, a patient, and a compassionate God, has once again extended his grace and his mercy toward us. And church, knowing that we don't deserve it, somebody ought to have a hallelujah and a thank you, Jesus, in their mouth right now, realizing that our God have been better to us, have done more for us than we could have or would have done for ourselves. And for that, we ought to praise his name. We ought to shout, glory, glory, hallelujah. Church, I ask that you join me once again this morning as we attempt to lift our message from the gospel recorded by Mark. I want to look at Mark chapter 14 and verses 41 through 52 and a few others, which read, yet spake come Judas, one of the 12, with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he would come, he goes straightway to him and said, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said to them, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and yet ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsake him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembly of all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. This morning, my sisters and brothers, I want to talk about the night that Jesus was arrested. The night that Jesus was arrested. Church, I will begin this Sunday morning as we do on Palm Sunday. This Sunday, we recognize as Palm Sunday. It is a day that our Lord and our Savior rode into Jerusalem on the back of an ass. Palm Sunday is a day where those who waited the long-awaited Messiah placed palm leaves and garments in the way. And the Bible said that you could hear them as they shouted, Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. They said, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And most of us know that story well because we preach it or teach it every Palm Sunday morning. We know how Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and once he got into Jerusalem, we know how he went into the temple and upset the temple because everything and anything was going on in God's house, similar to some things that was happening in God's house prior to the pandemic. And prayerfully, God will have changed that by the time that we enter back into his house. But church, by the time we get to our text today, especially for those who shared with us on last Sunday, we were blessed of God to already have been able to stroll backwards through the archives of biblical history to retrace the steps of Jesus the Christ. We followed him as he traveled toward the fulfillment of his earthly mission. We were there able to join Jesus and the disciples in that worship service as they celebrated the last meal together. We were able to hear the words of Jesus as he gave unto his disciples the prophecy of betrayal. We were there, church, when Jesus prayed and when they got together and they sung a song. And then we were able to travel with them as they left the upper room and walked through the streets of Jerusalem. We traveled with them as they crossed over that Kidron Valley and they went up into the Garden of Gethsemane and on to the Mount of Olives. We were there with them while our Lord and our Savior Jesus suffered the pain of our sins, and while he agonized in prayer, we saw those disciples who Jesus asked to watch for him, but they lost the battle with sleep for some reason. They could not stay awake, and we were able to see or witness the human side of our Lord and our Savior when the pain of his suffering got so severe that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground as he prayed to his heavenly Father. asking his Father if it was possible that he would remove that sin-filled cup from him so that he would not have to go to Calvary. Yeah, church, we also heard him when he told the Father, if it's not possible, Father, your will and your desire be done, because I want to do what you have sent me here to do. And after Jesus had prayed, church, for the third time, the Bible says he returned to the disciples whom he had to awaken. And when he woke them up, he told them, now is the time of my arrest. Church, Jesus, who is all-knowing, knew that the mob and his betrayal was on the way. Church, today we see that God's plan cannot be ruined by people. In our text today, we see that no one can stop the plans of our Heavenly Father. For the Bible tells us that if God be with you, who can be against you? We will see in today's message that even God uses Judas underhand agreement to accomplish his plan of saving his people. Now, in our text, church, the Bible let us know that as they approached Jesus, that the soldiers hesitated, but Judas continued to approach Jesus, addressing him with respect, and he began to kiss Jesus on his cheek. Judas told the guards, I want you to watch me, and when I kiss him, I will identify him, and he's Jesus. Jesus responded, he said, have you come out as against a robber? He said, I'm not a dangerous criminal, but you need swords and clubs to arrest me? Jesus tells them, I'm the same one that's been teaching in the temple day after day, and you so much never lifted a hand against me. But here you come on this night, and since you're here, I want you to do what you have come to do, so that the scriptures of the Lord may be fulfilled. Then the Bible said that the men stepped forward and they grabbed Jesus and arrested him. And somebody know that's when Peter drew his sword and swung it. And the Bible said the sharp metal struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. But Jesus, who can do anything but fail. Did you hear that, church? I said he can do anything but fail. He touched the man ill, and he healed him. And then he turned and looks at Peter, and he tell Peter to put your sword away. Church, Peter drew his sword in defense of Jesus. It was an act of Peter's love for the Savior. But somebody know that Jesus need no defense, for Jesus was not a victim, and in spite of what his present circumstances might have looked like, Jesus was still in control. And church, that's an assurance that you and I need to walk away from this message with today, that Jesus is in control, because no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter how difficult life gets for us sometime, the Bible let us know that 1,000 or 10,000 can be against you. But if you are a child of God, and if you're living by the principles of God, you can be assured of the fact that God is still in control. And that's why Jesus tell Peter to put your sword away. For what's transpiring here is all a part of God's divine plan. Do you think, Peter, that I cannot ask my Father for help, and he will not send me an army of more than 7,000 angels? But if I ask him for help, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Peter, this situation must be. And church, Jesus, you need to know, was not a helpless victim of a cruel and an unjust system. He was not a weak man. His life was not being snatched away from him. He was submitting to God's plan. Surely there's somebody who knows that the men hand who arrested Jesus had no power over him except what Jesus allowed them to have. Peter did not have to fight for Jesus, for Jesus could have just said or spoken a single word, and he would have been free. But instead, he surrendered. He chose to be arrested in order that God's plan might be fulfilled. Jesus, he prayed to his Father, and somebody know that prayer gave him strength to restrain his power and to allow himself to be arrested. So, church, when you and I are in stressful situations, when our enemies are having encamped all around us, when all sources of lies are being spread about you, when your enemies are digging ditch for you, trying to block you, you just need to remember that the same power that was available to Jesus, that same power is available to you. Just do what you saw Jesus do. You just need to go down in prayer and have a little talk with your Father, who already knows all about your situation. Jesus, church, allowed himself to be arrested. He submitted, not so much to men who arrested him, but somebody need to know that he submitted to the will of God, even though he already knew that it would cause him to suffer. Jesus submitted because he trusted his Father. Jesus submitted because he knew his Father was a good God of love. He submitted because he knew that God knew all things. He knows about our past. Oh, yes, he do. He knows about our present. And we serve a God who knows about our future. And he knew that the Father wanted the best for us. Jesus also knew that God had the power to make all things work together for good. You don't have to worry about it when things look bad, when they're not going the way you think they should go, because God make all things work together for good. Church, God, Jesus knew his Heavenly Father. He knew him because he spent time with him. And can I tell you that you and I would do well to follow the example of Jesus. We too should be able should abide in his presence. We should spend some time with Jesus in prayer. We should spend some time with him studying his word. And then we would know his will. We would know his plan. And like Jesus, we'll be able to submit to God's plan and God's will, because we'll realize that God's plans are greater than our plans. We need to know him, church, so we'll be able to say what the Lord says. Not my will, God, but thy will be done. Can I tell you that Jesus voluntarily surrendered because he knew that no man could take his life, and because he knew that if he laid his life down of himself, that he had the power to take it up again. So the Bible says his surrender was an act of obedience. Somebody better get that. His surrender was an act of obedience who was to his Father God, who was still in control, who always have been in control. He's a God that was in control before the creation. He's a God that was in control when Jesus hung out on Calvary's cross. A God that's in control even right now while you and I are facing this COVID pandemic. And when this virus looks like it's still out of control and still have the power to still kill millions, our God is still in control. And sometimes things don't always go like we think they should go, like we want them to go, or like we expect them to go. But be assured, church, that Jesus is in control. The Bible said they arrested Jesus and that they bind his hand together and they brought him before Annas, who began to interrogate our Savior. Annas was looking for fraudulent and unjustifiable charges to put our Savior to death. But the Bible says when Hannah and the other was did not realize that Jesus stood before them voluntarily so that the will of the Father could be done. He wasn't forced to stand there. He wasn't there because they had arrested him and bind his hand together. But he voluntarily did it so that the will of the Father could be done. Because as bad as things may have appeared to be on that night of the rest of our Savior, somebody need to know that Jesus was and he's still in control. Church, they led Jesus before Anna. But Anna and his assembly could find no charges to bring against Jesus. So the Bible says that they led our Savior before Caiaphas, the son-in-law of Anna, and the setting high priest. But neither could he find any charges against Jesus. So they then sent Jesus to Pilate. And Pilate questioned Jesus. But Jesus would not answer Pilate. And Pilate made a personal confession. Somebody know that Pilate says, I find no fault in Jesus. And church, in spite of the fact that Pilate found Jesus to be innocent, he still turned Jesus over to a mob. And that mob shouted, crucify him. And I want somebody to know and be careful about those who are around you. Because the same mob who is now shouting, crucify him, they were there when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. They are some of the same ones that were shouting, Hosanna. But here they are now shouting, crucify him. So the Bible said they led our Savior away. They beat him. They whooped him. They mocked and ridiculed him. They stripped him of his clothes and they placed our Savior in a scarlet robe. They put the crown of thrones on our Savior's head. They placed a reed in his right hand. They bowed before him and mocked him. If you listen carefully, you could hear them shout, hell, King of the Jews. Church, the Bible said they even spit on our Savior and then took the reed away from him and smoked him on his head. And after they got through having their fun with the Savior of the world, they stripped him of his robe and then led him away to crucify him. Now, church, I wonder right here if anybody listening to me can identify yourself with that crowd. I wonder if you have ever turned your back on him, went your own way, did your own thing, because you thought you was a part of the Isley brothers who say, it's my thing. I can do what I want to do. I wonder if you have ever ridiculed him and mocked him by talking all kind of way, saying all kind of things. Church, they led him away to a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. That's where they affixed our Savior body. The Bible said to a whole rugged cross. That's where they drove nails into our Savior hand. They drove nails into our Savior feet. It was on that hill, Calvary's hill, when they strapped our Savior wide, and they hung our Savior high. And if this morning, church, listen to me, if you would look up this morning, can I get anybody to look up, church? Look up at the cross. If you look up this morning, you will see a bloody and a bleeding Savior. If you would look up this morning, church, you would see a sinless Savior, a Savior who knew no sin. If you look up, you will see a Savior who did no sin. You will see him hanging on Calvary's cross. Look up and you will see a Savior bruised. Look up and you will see a Savior dehydrated. He's hanging there in that hot Palestinian sun. Look up this morning and what you will see is your sins. What you'll see is my sins. What you'll see is the sins of selfishness. Anybody listening to me this morning, you will see the sins of disobedience. You will see the sins of jealousy. You will see the sins of strife. You will see weight with sins. If you will look up this morning, you will see your place, and you will see my place. For Jesus took our place. He suffered and endured the shame of that bloody stained cross. And there's somebody that know that he was not only betrayed. There's somebody listening that know that he was not only arrested, but he was abused. Somebody know that the Savior of the world was beaten. They know that he was misused. And then somebody know that they placed him on a blood-saturated cross. And on that cross, he was in pain. On that cross, they pierced him in the side. On that cross, blood and water ran down from the cross. On that cross, he talked to his Father. On that cross, he gave up the ghost. On that cross, he committed himself back into the hands of the Father. And if you listen carefully this morning, I can tell you, he died. Anybody know he died? He died out there on yonder's cross. And the Bible says that they took our Redeemer down. Yes, they did. They took our Lord down. Yes, they did. They took our Savior down. And they buried our Savior in Joseph's new tomb. And now the world is silent. My God. Now the world is quiet. My God. It seems now that all hope is gone. It seems like death have the victory. It seems like the grave have secured his body. My God, they took him down and buried him in Joseph's new tomb. And now the disciples who was with Jesus on that night, they all ran away. The young man in the cloth linen who was with Jesus, he ran away. They left our Savior all by himself. And now, since they have buried him in the tomb, we find the disciples, they hiding now in the upper room. And the religious leaders, they're now dancing in the street. They're rejoicing now. They think they got the victory now. They got their reputation back now. They got their glory back now. The followers of Jesus, they're crying. They're moaning. But what they've forgotten, church, and sometimes what you and I have forgotten, is that Jesus made a promise in John 2:19. Somebody might remember his word. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Can I tell you, church, go ahead and start counting. It's Friday evening. Go ahead and start counting. It's Friday night. Go ahead and start counting. It's Saturday all day. Go ahead and start counting. Can I tell you now, I'm trying to close. You can start counting, but I can tell you that Sunday morning is coming. You just need to wait. Sunday morning is on the way. And can I tell you in closing, when Sunday show up, somebody better shout. When Sunday show up, somebody better rejoice. When Sunday show up, everything is going to be all right. They arrested him. They abused him. They beat him. They took him to the cross, nailed him to the cross. They pierced him in the side, took him down, put him in Joseph's new tomb. They sealed that tomb, and they thought it was all over with. Seemed like death in the grave has victory. But I come today to tell somebody this is just Palm Sunday. And Sunday morning is on the way. God bless you and God keep you. A word of prayer and then a few announcements. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word, O Heavenly Father. Father, for we see and study your word that a lot transpired on the night that Jesus was arrested. Oh, Father, he got no rest, but he was led from judgment hall to judgment hall. Father, he got no rest, but he was lied on. He was fraudulently charged. Father, he was whipped and beaten. He was mocked and made fun of all night long, Father. But he did not say one mumbling word, Father, because he knew his assignment and he knew that his mission. And Father, above any and everything, he wanted to please his heavenly Father. And today, Father, we pray, Father, for the anointing of this message in the lives of those who have heard this word, Father, that we might model ourselves and pattern ourselves after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we will learn, O Heavenly Father, that to do the will of him who have sent us, him who have called us, O Heavenly Father, that we would trust him, O Heavenly Father, because we know that he have already made a promise to us. And said that no weapon that are formed against us shall prosper. He hath already made us a promise to be strong and courageous, that no man will be able to stand against us all the days of our life. He made us a promise that he would never, ever forsake us and leave us, our God. And he came back because whether we admit it or confess it or not, but we turned our back on him, and we too shouted, crucify him. Every time we lied, every time we went astray, every time we did that which was contrary to his will. And even now, if we are not living by his word, we are in that crowd that said, crucify him. But we thank you, Lord. We thank you for you assured us victory in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you anoint this message to the hearers today. Oh, Father, we ask that you allow them to concentrate on the meaning, to know that all the time while you were being kissed, while you were being, your hands being bound, while you were being led from judgment hall to judgment hall, you were always in control. And you are in control now, Father, even while this virus is still running wild. Oh, Father, you have empowered man to be able to come up with a source that will help your people. Now empower your people to trust you enough, Father, to go and get vaccinated and do other things that is proper in your sight, Father. You are in control. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. And we magnify you. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. And we say, amen.